It's like there's all these beautiful things that the theme brings out in a really beautiful way and centers that I think is just really exciting. So yeah, I'm cheating and saying patterns because that touches on all sorts of other aspects of the release. But I'm curious, Bud, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I can't top that. Patterns is definitely what 2024 is all about. But I think more important, or as important, it points to where WordPress has been pointing to and going to for the last couple of years, and where it will continue to go and grow in the field of patterns.
Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to the WordPress Way, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! Today's show is brought to you by Hostinger. Whether you're a small or large agency or a freelancer, learn more about their options at Hostinger.com. And OmniSend, the email and SMS marketing plugin and CRM solution for WooCommerce, at omnisend.com. Well, today we have a special show as host Abba Tagore brings in Anne McCarthy and Bud Kraus for all things WordPress 6.4. Will be a great conversation and is a reflection on 6.4 while diving into so many different insights from the three of them, which lead into the importance of testing and feedback for future releases. So unlike a lot of the stuff you've seen out there on 6.4 reviews and such, I think this is a very unique conversation. So enjoy.
Hello, I'm Abba Tagore and your host for this very special podcast on the latest WordPress major software release, 6.4. In the studio today, we're extra happy to have Anne McCarthy and Bud Kraus. People you'll know of already in the community, I'm sure. Anne was heavily involved in the release as one of the editor triage leads and was invaluable in helping provide information to other areas. I know as documentation co-lead for this release, it's always a pleasure to contribute alongside Anne and just discover how welcoming that environment is to new contributors as well as the people who have been around the community for a while. Our other guest is Bud, who's been helping the Learn WordPress team with materials on 6.4, and we'll have more to share on that a bit later. It's been another release which has a wonderful number of both new and existing contributors to the project. At the last count, and it keeps increasing, there were more than 600 contributors in at least 56 countries. And this release also welcomed 170 plus first-time contributors. I never tire of seeing that figure and just being blessed that we have that and that we hopefully can keep having more contributors. So if you're listening to this Do the Woo podcast and you think, oh, I could join this, I could still help with 6.4 documentation and training team, but also with the forthcoming releases for 6.5, 6 and 7, then this is the place to stay and listen to all the things that Bud and Anne have to share. So welcome, Anne and Bud. It is so lovely to have you here. Tell us where you're joining from today.
I'm joining from Seattle, Washington. I'm sipping coffee and yeah, thank you for the lovely intro. And I'm super excited to be here with you, Bud. It's just really lovely to hold virtual space together.
Well, it's such an honor to be with both of you. I mean, I am so in over my head. Let's just get that right out of the way. I am in Nutley, New Jersey, 12 miles west of New York City, where it is a little looking like November, cold, gray, and the leaves are almost off all the trees. So that's where we are.
Well, I'm south of London in the UK today, and this is the first time the new puppy has been around when a podcast is happening and I'm not in the office. So if you hear little barks, it's that she just loves Do the Woo, and she's already got someone stitching her a Do the Woo little emblem because the other one goes to WordCamps already. And so, you know, we've got to have people involved and lots of ways of involving them, don't we? So we've got so much to share about 6.4. I really hope that people listening, if you've not used it before, then you really want to go and use it. And if you think there was something in it that I was hoping to see, but it's not in there. Don't worry, because it is being worked on for the next release. And Anne, I know you will have words of wisdom for people who have things that they want to see in a release. What is the best way for them to make that mark, to make the point, and to just show why it's so important?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to continuing to follow up on issues and advocating for as each release goes by. Like, there are honestly issues that I personally like want to see fixed. And with every release, if it hasn't been fixed, I'll go in and I'll update it and say, just tested it with the latest release. It still doesn't work. This is the current experience. So keeping issues current and up to date. And then if you can, aligning it with the roadmaps as they come out and saying like, hey, I think this fits into this focus, goes a long way, because there are a lot of issues and we're all human and we don't always see all of them. And it really helps to continue to hear from folks and to understand the impact. And I think people sometimes underestimate that, like how much it helps to see, you know, wow, this issue has a ton of traction and there's 100 people who've commented on it versus no one's commented on this issue I opened. It's hard for me to know the impact. Was this just me or someone in the outreach program who found this? Or is this impacting, you know, tons of folks? So knowing the scale of impact is huge.
I love that description. And I think it's really helpful to people if you're maintaining a component. I've got two of them and I definitely will go in the bugs job we're doing next week down and look at exactly how you've said to explain it. Because sometimes it's easy to feel disheartened. And that's a great way of saying this problem still exists, or I experience it in this way. Can anybody else report as well? So I love that. In terms of people who are listening to this who don't know where tickets come from a release, and can you just share a little bit about how that works? And obviously, we've got Gutenberg, we've got Track, just so that people understand where to look.
Yeah, so we do have two different experiences in terms of reporting issues. I always say if you really don't know, if you're comfortable with Slack, like I go where you're comfortable. If you're comfortable in the forums, go to the forums. Like I think the thing is there are people in each of these spaces who can redirect you and help you find your way, which is one of the beautiful things about the WordPress community. But in terms of the different repos, we have folks in charge of both. One is on Track and one is in GitHub. The Gutenberg GitHub repo is the one I spend more time in because of my focus area with work. And in that repo and in Track, there are people whose whole job is to triage the stuff that's coming in, to look through it, to kind of get things in order. And then you have developers, you have specific focuses that when the thing is triaged and labeled and all that sort of stuff, they can then go through and look at it as it aligns with their work. So when people talk about opening issues or sharing things, you don't need to get it to the right person on their desk. There are systems in place that will route it there. And so I share that in hopes that it helps lower the barrier to entry. I also know another thing that comes up a lot is people are like, well, what if I open an issue that already exists? That's okay. We'd rather hear about it multiple times. I open issues that like myself had opened an issue 3 years ago for. I just did that this week and had to close out an issue. It just happens sometimes. And some of it's phrasing, and that's not on you to know every single issue in the repo. The aim is to lower the ability to just share what's going on in your mind and what you're running into as you use WordPress so we can make it as good as possible. And so basically, you can fill out what's like a bug form, and it'll give you step-by-step instructions, what's required. If you want to open an enhancement, there's a different form for that. And so all of these things will kind of guide you through the process built into the form that you're filling out. And the best thing you can do is just make sure that whatever you're filling out is using the most up-to-date software. Like that's really helpful because we can help identify where the issue is.
And I think as the core team rep for this year, and I can just really support that. But also at the bottom of every new ticket that comes up, it has a little thing about encouraging people to show welcome for someone's first report. And I think that really is about the spirit of WordPress, that if you are worried about it, there are ways to do it. There is a brilliant new contributors meeting every 2 weeks. There is the weekly dev chat on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. UTC. And you can raise things as well in those if you're not sure where to raise them. But also, if you're not sure how to learn about a new release, there is so much information. And I'm going to come to Bud on that, because Bud, you've been working on something that's going to help people understand 6.4 with a Learn WordPress team. Can you share a bit more about it?
I did. And I there is a video of the presentation that I did about 2 weeks ago that really went through soup to nuts, the main features and the enhancements and so forth of 6.4. But can I digress for a minute and ask a question or two to Anne? Because there, she said a couple of things that I thought were really interesting.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I always have a problem with when I'm looking at something, I'm saying and thinking about reporting it, which is, I'm sure they know about this already. There's no reason to report it. But now what you're saying is, no, report it anyway. Don't worry about embarrassing yourself that you didn't read through every ticket. You know, And the other thing is, I don't know if people know this, but Anne, didn't you do a video a couple years ago about how to use GitHub? And I thought that was so, that's something I'm assuming is still in the Learn WordPress area.
It is. It was the first one I ever did, and it was very early days, so the quality might not be up to par with what we're doing now, just as it's, I think things have gotten better since I did that 3 years ago.
But that was so instructive because, like, I'm looking at this, like, I don't know how to use GitHub. Remember, there might be somebody who wants to report something, and I get it. You can, you know, report any way you want, but it's preferred that you go to GitHub. I did not really know how to use it. And Anne's video was very helpful to get me, you know, feeling more comfortable using it.
Absolutely.
Which I have on a couple of occasions.
And we have two places that people can report. One is on Track for core things, and one is on GitHub for the Gutenberg. So, and there are videos for both, which is even better. There's videos to help you actually put a report in, and there are videos to and step-by-step instructions too. So we're gonna have a lot of these links in the on the webpage when it gets published as well. So don't worry if you think, I really want to be able to do this, but I don't know where a link is. We'll be sharing all of those with you too. So Bud, thank you for those questions, because I think it's really valuable for people who haven't used it before. And even Track, you know, if you're not sure what to do and you don't know how to update it, there is a video there to help you and lots of people available to help, which is the key thing. So as Anne said, testing is one of the main things too, that and a lot of our new contributors, a lot of our contributors I'm seeing now from Woo are actually coming along and testing, and because the testing handbook is just amazing. It has so many things. I know, Anne, you've contributed to that too. It's got really good step-by-step instructions. It'll cover different environments. There's also now a test environment that you can set up for 4 hours that is available, and people can help you share that. And it just makes a big difference to what people can do. And we know that where people tested that for Woo, it did make a big difference.
Yeah. Isn't in the Gutenberg plugin now a link to report a bug or something like that? If I'm not mistaken, there's a way right from the plugin to report a bug or an enhancement. Anne, am I right or wrong about this?
That's a great question. Let me look it up. There is an experiment section, and there I did have a recent conversation with some folks about that. And so that was the last time I did a deep dive, but I want to make sure I'm not going to misspeak. I'm pretty sure they're in the support. Yeah, so there is actually a link to the support forms from the Gutenberg plugin. So if you have a Gutenberg plugin installed and then go to support. The other thing that I do want to mention is that you don't need to use the Gutenberg plugin to open issues. I think that's another point of confusion that comes up. So Gutenberg is what involves the editing experience. So anytime you're writing or creating content, it should go into the Gutenberg repo. Anytime you're basically in the rest of the admin interface or using default themes, there are Track repos for that. Again, ask and someone will point you in the right direction. I don't think there is an issue or a way to open an issue directly from the Gutenberg plugin. I just am double checking, and I'm pretty sure that's intentional based on what I remember from the experiments page. So we were talking about adding that to the experiments page as something to evolve, and that conversation basically ended. And I think that's the last time we talked about where to put that, because we could overhaul Gutenberg experiments, which is pretty, that's a whole niche other discussion, talking about using experimental features for that. And so, yeah, because you wouldn't really want to put it in the Gutenberg plugin. If anything, you'd want to put it in the entire interface, like folks using the Gutenberg plugin or folks using WordPress in general should be able to open issues in general. So I think having two different experiences there might be kind of confusing. But
now, one other thing I'd like to mention too is, and I don't know, I know that you have a lot of, you're involved with this, at least on 6.4 and maybe prior releases, this source of truth document, which I found very helpful. Is that something that was new in 6.4? Why don't you talk a little bit about that? Because as someone who is trying to follow what's going on and doesn't have time, you know, to spend a lot of time figuring it out, going to this one document was a huge help. Okay, so what's up with that?
Yeah, so actually starting in WordPress 5.8, so I think I had been on I had watched a couple of releases happen, and I noticed the same thing across the community and across Automattic. Automattic is my employer. And so we have folks like VIP, WooCommerce, Jetpack, WordPress.com, who are all trying to keep up to date on the next WordPress release. And then the community, I noticed we have marketing, we have docs, we have training. It was like, everyone's like, what's going on? What's happening? And I was on the edge of where things were going and talking to a lot of folks and reading a bunch of GitHub issues. So I started, for my own sanity, pulling stuff together and created an initial source of truth. And at first it was like internal for folks at Automattic. And then I would curate a list of educators and influencers in the WordPress space where I was like, this seemed like it could be helpful, which is how I found you, Bud. And ABBA, eventually marketing. I was like, oh, marketing should have access to this. Like, it was just kind of this evolving ad hoc. I don't know if this is helpful because there's the field guide as well. And I didn't want to conflate efforts there. But for me, honestly, when it came to preparing for podcasts like this, which is something that I was doing when I was doing developer relations, I needed a one place to go and read everything. And then I just decided to share it. And then with each release, it's gotten more and more. I started sharing with more people. I started getting more feedback. I started carrying the format. I tried to bring some folks in. Different folks will help at times. So I might bring some designers in to help create some design assets. But the whole point of it is exactly what you said. You go to one place, you have access to like what's happened. It's very bland. It's not meant to be super marketing-y. It's not meant to be copied and pasted. It should read kind of like documentation. It has links to GitHub issues if you want to learn more, make core posts if you want to learn more. It has design assets so you can see what's changing and see what's going on. If it's applicable, you can have gist or like code samples if it's a code-related thing. And that's often something I get help with. But yeah, it's meant to just basically summarize and package the release in a way that's like pretty detailed so that you can go create your own content. You can create documentation. You can know the priority items that are changing. You can, if you're writing a blog post for your company, you can do so. And so eventually, I think, can't remember which release it was. I think it might have been 6.1. I decided, I was like, let's just see what happens if I post this on my blog, like every, you know, WordPress folks do. I was like, let's just put this out here completely public. My biggest fear is people were going to just copy paste wholesale. And that has happened. I've had that happen with like some of the main release assets, which was kind of nerve wracking because it, you know, it just is not, it's not meant for that content, that copy. And so it's gone really well. And so now people, I got a question, I think this last release being like, why is this like not an official WordPress thing? And I was like, I don't know. I've just been doing it by myself for hours. Like, it takes like probably 20 or 30 hours. Like, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. And I think definitely it's going to be a good asset to develop on within the project too, because it's amazing. And we certainly couldn't do the documentation or marketing or training stuff without it. But I think as Anne said, it needs to be understood for what it is, because it is a snapshot at that time.
It's insider. It's not like end user. It's like very insider baseball. Like, it's not. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, what you also do is you note, you'll make a point and you'll say this is directed towards end users or devs or designers, which is really good. So you know what the point is, what audience that point is targeted to. I love that. I think that is just spectacular. The whole thing is spectacular. How do you keep this up? I mean, do you do this constantly?
Yeah, it's really difficult. I do have like an endpoint, but I've started getting really good with each Gutenberg release. Like, basically, I've already have a draft, like an early, early, early draft for 6.5. And part of what helps is, honestly, I've started raising my hand to help write the roadmap posts for the release. which then helps me, like, I'm already looking across the project, I'm already bringing stuff together, and then I can already kind of have a shape of the source of truth just from, like, where things are as we start writing the draft of, like, the roadmap. So it's, if you place yourself at the beginning and end, it helps. But it's a lot of work. Like, I'm in the midst of that right now, and it's a lot of talking to folks, a lot of reading super technical things and trying to make sense of it. But it's worth it. Like, it's super impactful, and I think people really appreciate it. And it makes no one a blocker. It's like, here, everyone's empowered. Everyone go forth. No one has access to secret information. Like, no one's having to dig through GitHub. It's like, here you go. And so to me, I see it as like an equability thing and like a inclusion thing. Like, more people can get involved in talking about these releases and feel empowered, which is ultimately like my goal, you know?
Oh, it was spectacular. I mean, I thought it's so good.
It also has the benefit that where we need more people involved, because WordPress will be as good as the number of people we have and who are able to give time and help. And as Bud said, things are labeled end user, they're labeled, you know, what the target audience is. And that information then gets translated into actual tasks that people can come and help with. So, for example, we have a help hub for end users in addition to what we have for developers. And a lot of those things that Anna's been talking about in The Source of Truth are available for people to update. And it can be as simple as updating a screenshot, updating an alt attribute, to something a little bit more complicated about updating a video, maybe. And all of these things really make a difference, because the more information we can collectively help people use, wherever purpose they need to use WordPress, the better the product, the better the community, the better the outcomes for everybody. And also, you will get so many new ideas. But, oh, we could do this maybe next time, or we could have this feature. You know, just like in this conversation, Bud suggested something that could be in GitHub Experimental for Gutenberg. You know, all these ideas are wonderful. I'm going to take us actually deep into the release now, because I think we can share some wonderful insights about what's available. And I think the thing that is getting talked about the most, and also I've seen it a lot in the Woo community, is the new default theme, 2024. And it is amazing for what it brings together. And a lot of people that I've been talking to in preparation for this today said it has a business option, but it allows me to also use the portfolio for some of my pages. And then I can add the WooCommerce gateways to the bits that I want to. This is going to be so much easier. I can concentrate on my product that I'm making rather than actually all the bits and details of creating those patterns and things in the first place. I'm going to go to Anne first to say, Anne, what are your favorite things about the 2024 default theme? I'll have the same question for Bud after that.
I'm going to say the patterns. And that aligns with like the 35 plus patterns, plus I think the new ability to set categories with patterns, create your own patterns. A longstanding bug was fixed around alignments with synced patterns, where if you have a really wide sync pattern or you have a really wide cover block, a full width cover block, and then you make it a sync pattern, the width doesn't change, which was a longstanding bug that was fixed in this release. And so to me, the patterns and the ability to filter by the patterns, I think is definitely the coolest feature. There's also a new option to swap your template out with different starter patterns. So if you want a template with like a sidebar or full width image, it's very easy to switch between those when you're, creating content. So that stands out to me, for sure. I think one of the things that's hard to explain with this, theme is that a lot of it is built in a way, and this release is built in a way that helps show off those features too. So like image lightbox, if you want to turn that on, you can. If you want to have enhanced pagination, you can. If you want to use these patterns, you can. If you want to have aspect ratio in the images, you can. It's like there's all these beautiful things that the theme brings out in a really beautiful way and centers that I think is just really exciting. I'm cheating and saying patterns because that touches on all sorts of other aspects of the release. But I'm curious, Bud, what do you say to that?
I can't top that. Patterns is definitely what 2024 is all about. But I think more important, or as important, it really points the way, it points to where WordPress has been pointing to and going to for the last couple of years, and where it will continue to go and grow. in the field of patterns, all part of obviously the Gutenberg project. And for people who are not designers and want to put up something fast, you now have the ability to do it by taking a pattern and making it yours and doing whatever you want with it, creating your own patterns, importing and exporting the whole bit. I mean, my goodness. You know, somebody asked me about child themes the other day, and I said, well, that's an old term. I mean, because we now can do, I mean, yes, I know child themes are still around, but when you're talking about block themes, wow. I mean, it's extraordinary what has been accomplished. Now, I do want to say one last thing about 2024. And this was where I was disappointed. And because there's always disappointments. And I'm sure you can talk more about this, which is the font library wasn't included in the release. And I was disappointed because I really thought that was the sexiest thing that you could do, was give us the font library. So where are we in terms of when we are likely to see all or part or all of it, hopefully in 6.5?
Yeah, that's a great question. That was a really hard decision. I am of two minds about it, but I'll leave it there. I think ultimately those decisions are always done by collective input and also experts who are working on it. And so I always trust that their sense of it. What ultimately kind of broke it down was related to, I'll get briefly into the weeds and then come back out, was REST API related problems and interactions. So at this point, I actually just checked in with some folks who are working on that around the 6.5 roadmap. It is very much slated for 6.5. This has been bumped across multiple releases, and I think everyone's been working really hard, and I really think we thought we would land it in 6.4. I do feel very confident in saying it will land in 6.5. Right now we have the user interface, we have, you know, the base experience is all there. Like all of it is like basically there. I think the main thing is,
I've seen it. It's phenomenal. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen it. It's really cool. I think it's great. You know, I want to use it too. And so, yeah, I think that will be a major feature in 6.5, and barring anything wild happening, I can't imagine it not being released. This is also a great call to help test. So this is where testing is crucial. We need people involved. It's every step of the way to test these things and find stuff, because ultimately we don't, it's a failure not to ship something. It's also a failure to ship something that's not good enough. And so we need to avoid both those outcomes. And part of doing that is testing and feedback. So,
and I think also one of the things that came very much to the fore with this release is that some of the issues that people had didn't come up in the testing, in the environments that the people who were testing were finding, and it came up in other environments. So it is really important, just because you might be using a different version and you're updating it from that, or you've got a different test set up, the more different environments and the more case uses that we can have and been trying these things, that is how these things are then spotted. And I think, you know, it was been seeing all that change, and particularly when you're trying to do the field guide, it was like, okay, is that in? Is it not in? But I think it goes back to Anne's point that the Source of Truth is a fantastic document, but it may not be everything in there that will actually land. So if you are using this for your clients with your understanding, it may land another release, so that learning isn't wasted. But check the field guide, check the dev notes, check the news page, which actually has all the information on. A lot of people contribute to all that to make it happen. And quite often, they're having to follow the speed of the release too. So, you know, it could be that you find something and you go, actually, this is how I use it, that people may not know how to use that feature. So, you know, come in and say, can I help with docs? Can I help with a dev blog? We're always looking for case studies of how people are using things, because it inspires others. But it also finds out what might not work somewhere for some particular users. So, you know, I think collaboration and all working together is really important. It was a very short release cycle this year, for 6.4. And we have three releases in 2024 to look forward to, which we'll come back to. But before we do, I want to touch on a couple more things in the release. The command palette. Anne, if I come to you first on that. Now, it's obviously a very powerful tool. We got it in 6.3 initially, but it does have some major benefits to how people can perform tasks efficiently, speed up that building workflow. And I think also for people who use WordPress to actually have a WooCommerce site, that's going to be a big benefit for them. I just really wanted to hear how you think about the command palette. And then I'll go to Bud with a similar question, but with a different angle.
Yeah, I think the command palette is super impactful in terms of if you are zeroed in and you know what you want to be doing and you're trying to switch between the different modes. Like, I honestly use it a lot to turn on distraction-free mode for when I'm writing or creating. I use it a lot to open up styles whenever I'm in the site editor and I'm just feeling, you know, quick. If I want to create a new post, I also do that as well. It basically limits the need to click a bunch of times to drill down and drill back. And it allows just like a really easy, breezy switching between different situations. I have been talking to more folks about this, and a couple of folks are like, oh, I haven't found a good use case for it. And I'm like, what would you want to use it for? So again, I say, open up issues. Like, if there's something like one person brought up that I need to open an issue for and consider, is like, well, adding a featured image. It'd be really neat if I could use the command palette when I'm writing a post to just be like, add featured image. It pops open the media library. You can select and move on. So there's a huge opportunity to basically extend this and make it more valuable. But the command palette in and of itself can just be invoked both, I want to note this, in the site editor and in the post editor. I think there was some confusion, and I followed up on this actually on the doc side, that it can only be done and only be used in the site editor, and that's actually not true. You can use it in the post editor as well to do a wide variety of things. And so it's just using a keyboard shortcut, Command-K on Mac or Control-K on Windows to activate it. There is a known issue around Command-K being a duplicate issue or a duplicate shortcut for something else that eventually we'll need to solve, but that's neither here nor there. Another one I always like to point out is, like, if you want to preview your content in a new page, like, you can use that using the command palette and kind of just, yeah, there's a whole list of things. I'll make sure there's a link to a corridor improvement post I wrote about it back in, I think, like, August or September. And also for plugin authors, it's a great way to extend. I think Woo has one command right now and is probably looking to add more. But it's a great extension point, depending upon what your plugin does. So does that help answer your question? I could rant about this.
Definitely. And it's one of the very many performance improvements in this release, as well.
As a builder or an agency managing multiple sites, check out Hostinger.com. Their infrastructure brings your client's site speed, uptime, and security. Also, at your fingertips, you'll find a powerful suite of tools for security and performance, code and content management. Now add to that the ability to manage your WordPress website through WP CLI for control configuration and plugin updates, enhanced WordPress acceleration powered by Lightspeed Enterprise, control over auto updates, free migrations, and of course, the essential staging sites. Through all of their services and features comes e-commerce optimization for your clients' Woo shops. So when you think about it, overall, everything you need to keep your client sites running smooth can be found with their agency hosting at Hostinger.com. Whether you're a product or a site builder, OmniSend can help you with your customer or client's email and SMS through their CRM solution for WooCommerce. Product builders can bring their plugins and SaaS to a new level for their customers by integrating with OmniSend. And for you developers and agencies, recommending them to your clients for managing their customer relationships is spot on, because it gives them the right tool to build their email and SMS lists, send targeted campaigns, create automation workflows, and track their results, all from within their WordPress dashboard. With over 100,000 e-commerce stores already on board, have your clients and your customers get started for free by simply having them search for the OmniSend plugin on WordPress.org.
But my question to you is that there's a lot of design things that can be done more easily in this release. Do you have any any favorites that you highlighted in your workshop?
You know, I mean, Anne's already mentioned several of them, aspect ratio and, you know, and some of the light box and, you know, pagination on the Cori loop stuff. I didn't think there was, I mean, so that's some of the obvious ones that come to mind. Can I just make a comment briefly on the command palette? And that is, I've never looked at it as like, God, this is a must-have feature. That's me, okay? So maybe it's a matter of like, I have to retrain my brain. You know, if you do something like three or four times, if you click three or four times, it's a matter of, you have established a certain workflow and I know that, you know, it will save me time, but now I have to learn how to use the command palette. I don't know if I'm going to. I suspect I will if I only knew what commands I should be using or could be using to improve the workflow. And I think that's the key. I just like going back to the design. I just like all the ability to categorize your own patterns now is, you know, it's just really helpful.
And I think that's a really good question, is that sometimes people don't know how to use it or why to use it and might need a little bit more in terms of information to help them do that. And we'll share it in the post on this podcast, but there is now a very short Learn WordPress tutorial on working faster with the command palette, which does answer a couple of those things, but actually also some of the things that you've mentioned. I think that would be helpful. We have a little list of these are the kind of commands that might work and these might, just for the people who have not used it before. And in fact, but I do encourage you to add those comments to the documentation tracker on the command palette for end users, because I think it's a valuable comment. But that is the joy of this project, is that by talking to each other, we can find better ways of explaining or find things that we don't know how to use. And then, you know, people can together build something that will help that.
And I did not know until now that you could use the command palette in the post editor.
Yeah, this was a yeah, I just found that in the documentation. I think it was just like a mistake. I think the focus when we were featuring the command palette for the marketing materials was around the site editor, because that context, I think, is where it's like more powerful right now. But I think I do want to touch on, you're like, I don't know what the use case is for this. Maybe it's just me. Part of it is this command palette was actually a part of phase three. So if you imagine a world in which like there's editors all over the place, you have all these different things, like the command palette suddenly makes more sense. It just was a very early release. We were able to get it in a lot earlier. And I think from there, we can build with it in mind and kind of add value to it. So it's one of those things similar to patterns that I imagine will continue to grow in value over time. And so I encourage folks to try it out and find things that they use it for. And if not, like report what would be useful, because this is something that I will see us continuing to iterate on, similar to like patterns and styles and style variations and expanding the number of templates and all that sort of stuff. So,
yeah, I'm not so sure. Also, the name command palette is helpful, because palette, you know, that's kind of confusing.
There's a whole debate on that. And I actually had to come down and just settle that. But there is, I think in the future, if the command palette evolves into something else, I think it might make sense to, there was a name, Wayfinder, which I think if it becomes a more general purpose tool, I think it might make more sense. But yeah, no one is happy with any name that we pick for this stuff. But I think the clearer, the better.
and I think that does touch on some of the, you know, some of the things that there are a lot of new terminology for people to wrap their head around. And I know in terms of documentation, the command palette gets updated on the site editor page because it affects the site editor page. So it also will affect other pages, and we need to have tickets for those too. But I think what's your advice really, Anne and Bud, to help people understand what these new terms mean? We have a glossary, we have a Codex glossary, and we have a more understandable work that's going on in terms of what these terms mean for the average user as well. But the names can be a lot to learn. But is there any advice to people who are saying, okay, I've just moved to blocks and now I've got all this to learn?
But I'd love to hear your answer first.
Well, this is tough because in learning anything, you know, when you're talking to somebody, it's always like, where are they starting from? You know, what do they already know? And somebody that's been working with the classic themes kind of thing and now moving into this, if that's the case, well, then they already have some basic concepts, post page, custom post type, stuff that's been around for, that you can build on as compared to somebody that's brand new. In some ways, that's easier because you don't have to deal with, you really don't have to like talk about custom. I mean, you don't have to really start with classic themes. It's not easy. I say that, and this is really a conundrum, when you try to give people more options, which obviously we now have, this, you can make everything more difficult. There is more complexity now to WordPress than ever before. I mean, there just is. And there's just, and it is, for some people I'm seeing, it's a, I don't know, it's, you know, this is a very tough question for me to answer because maybe in the old days when we had a tiny MC editor, it was, you know, there was just not as many choices and you had to get plugins. And you know, now there's this whole design structure in place that one really needs to become comfortable with. And I struggle with it, not learning it, but, you know, knowing now when somebody's new to WordPress, what is in front of them compared to how it used to be. I think, you know, as they say, it's not your father's WordPress. It's very, and if people, I've talked to people who haven't touched WordPress in 5 years and they come back and they go, wow, what is this? You know, this is, yeah, you know, so there's, and I don't have any pat answer. This is the best approach. It's because, like I say, it really depends on the individual who comes to the learning process and what they already know. It's always about that, you know. I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
I think you're absolutely right. And I think it is a challenge, but I think it's a bigger challenge if you've already been using WordPress in an existing way for a long time to then get your head around the change. I know when I train people on using WordPress, that is the biggest obstacle I find. And it's the biggest barrier because they think the learning is going to be so much different and everything is different. Whereas if I'm teaching it for the first time to users and we use a lot of the Learn WordPress things, we use a lot of the documentation that is written for end users who have never used these words or the text or the things before, they cope a lot better. And I think there's something about needing as a project to get through that period where we've had an enormous amount of change, which has a tremendous amount of opportunities. And the software can now do amazing things, even more so than it could before. But I think it's how do we help people bridge that? And for me, and this is why I contribute to documentation and on release squads, is that if we don't get that information right, if we don't get enough material ready and available on learnwordpress.org and on documentation for end users, it's going to make that journey harder. And I know you have thoughts on this too.
Yeah, I'm also taking notes. So just about this whole conversation. So I'd also just want to, that was part of why I wanted to hear what you all said. But from my point of view, some stuff is always going to be hard, right? There's both the technological shift and then that what I call like the process change and the change management of that. I've seen this with agencies. I've seen this with end users. I've seen this with theme authors. It is the same problem. And it's both with the new technology and changing how you do something. And both are different things to overcome. I do think from like the product side and from the way I am trying to work, like we should not put the burden of WordPress's history on users to know. And that's something I worry about with the template hierarchy. That's something I worry about with like we've had reusable blocks, patterns, template parts. now we have patterns and, you know, tempo parts, but like maybe in the future we can also perhaps, you know, like find a way to move away from tempo parts, like reducing the number of the cognitive load in a way that makes sense, in a way that folks don't really need to know unless you're building a theme. Like let's do that. And so I think feedback around this from you all is super, super invaluable. I also will say from my point of view, I do maybe like 3 to 5 times a year, depending upon the year and people messaging me, I do volunteer and build sites for folks. So in my experience, I think one of the biggest things I've learned is like the whole point of what we're building is to make it more visual. And so because it's such a visual system, I use that to my advantage. And so I show people, I don't tell them all the terms, I don't overwhelm them. And I try to go through a couple of tasks. So I'm like, oh, you want to create a new page? Oh, did you know there are these things called patterns? Here's how you can use them. Here's what it can look like if you're using them, and try to kind of make it personal to a task. And then it's kind of like, you know, I always think about it as like the video game, like way back in the day when I would play like Warcraft, where it's like you explore the map and then the map gets bigger. It's like kind of doing that with folks. So like maybe they really explore one part of the map and maybe they don't touch the other part of the map at all yet. And kind of slowly introducing them to stuff as they have specific tasks for it. And that obviously comes with the qualifier of this is people directly talking with me. I can make videos of them. I know it's in their site. So it's very different. It's more personal and easier to do that. And I'm not doing it at scale. But in terms of doing it at scale, I think we have to think about from the product perspective what we're introducing in each release, how we can consolidate those things, what burden we need to put on folks that's actually realistic, and what's like we can remove. And like that's like, for example, the layout controls right now are just so confusing. Inherit layout, it's just a mess. Like the phrasing has changed tons of times. We need to improve it. It's on the list. We don't have a good design solution, but it's something that's deeply on our minds, right? Same with the style hierarchy. You can style something globally and then impacts a local block and you don't know why it impacts that. How do we communicate that? Another one that we don't have a good design solution for, but it's a longstanding issue and something that I'm really excited to solve because it will, if done well, ease a lot of this stuff and a lot of that cognitive load that right now folks like yourself are very kindly teaching folks, and documentation is so important. And it's like, how do we make those moments of someone needing to go and read a doc completely relevant and not unnecessary? Like I'm all about reducing unnecessary stress and unnecessary seeking out. So that's how I think about it. It doesn't really answer the question, but I do try to make it as visual as possible. That's why I think I started getting into like YouTube videos and stuff, because I'm like, let me just show you. And you'll see me do that and make core a lot of the times where I'm like, here's what I'm talking about. Here's the video. Here's what I'm saying is kind of weird or off.
Learn WordPress has got a lot more of these things now, and the movement on it has changed. So you've got 5-minute videos, you know, short bites, which try to do that kind of example building, that kind of go, okay, follow me, have your site ready, and do these same things. And I think that will help. And the more we can do like that, it will help. But I think Anne, you're quite right. We have to not confuse people. And there is so much change just in the names. I know every meetup I go to and I get feedback on, you know, how can we do this better? What can we do in terms of getting you documentation that you need? And it is very much, you know, if you're going to have documentation, can it be written for the audience that it's meant to be? So if you have a developer, which you might need to help write end user documentation or review it on the command palette, for example, make sure that they're writing it for the end user. And if we can do screenshots that explain that, and we can link back to the Learn WordPress video, one of my big things for the project is cross collaboration, that we need to be better at that. And we are, you know, I've been working on releases since 4.8. And that's been my mantra. I know Anne's heard it a lot, that the more we can do of that, the more seamless it can be for the user and the less scary.
Both of you, I'm interested in what your comment on the following, which is in the beginning, or for me, that means 2009, WordPress was marketed as, you know, easy to learn, air quotes here, do it yourself, all that kind of thing. I'm asking both of you, are you finding that, and you mentioned that you do sites for others, are you finding that more and more of those people are saying to you, at least I you know, starting to feel that they're saying, why don't you do it? I don't have time to learn this. I don't want to do it. It's too hard. I find that, you know, sort of, you know, and I'm only speaking very anecdotally here. I really don't do client sites anymore. At least I try the best I can to stay away from that kind of work. I only do it if I'm begged. But I do see people saying, you know, I really don't want to learn this. I want you to do it. And I think 5, 6, 7 years ago, people were more willing pre-Gutenberg to learn how to do it. Has there been a shift?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think there is a shift in terms of we are now in an age. I know, Abba, we talked about this like 2 years ago where people want things instantly. They're on Instagram. They're swiping through fonts, like, boom, done, move on, you know, add a filter, whatever. Like, I do think there is an element of that. And I think what we're building today can get there. Like the style system, the patterns, like switching through patterns, like, oh, I want to switch this up on my site, like boom, 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 like that. And we are building the infrastructure for us to get there. But I have a very biased group of people who come to me a lot of times where they're like, I want to build a site for myself. So it's different. I have worked with some nonprofits where they are very afraid. And part of my job and part of what I see is my aim is to teach them. So, you know, I converted one to blocks from short codes. And so I just took a video and was like, hey, this is how you do this. And this is how you make this a button. And part of it was, I was like, what are common actions you find you have to take on your site? And like one of them was like, oh, we need to update our board of directors or we need to update our sponsors. Like, can you help us know how to do that? And as I'm saying this, I'm like, oh, aspect ratio and placeholder image blocks, like that's actually gonna be huge for them. You know, like there are things that, you know, we can implement. But yeah, I do think there is an element of people. I think it is more split. I think there are people who want to get in there and manage it all themselves because there is a premium on your web presence. And you see that on social media and there is a premium of owning it. I think there is becoming more of an awareness on that. Of like, I don't want anyone to take a cut. I want to have like my full presence owned and managed. At the same time, I think there are also folks where they're too busy. I'm running my business. I'm doing this or stuff. I know I need to have this. I don't want to deal with it. Do it. And I think that initial do it, in my experience, the last time, you know, I did more serious client work was years ago, but I have done a number of these where when people come and they're like, can you just build it? Inevitably, within like 6 months, they come to me like, can you change this sentence to whatever? And I'm like, how about I show you? So you never have to ask me again. And suddenly they don't ever ask me again. I very rarely will get pings later where it's like, because they're like, oh yeah, I can do this myself. So I think the initial build, yes. And then once I do a walkthrough, then they, a lot of times are like, oh, I can do this. Like, why did I have this person do this? And I'm like, exactly. Like, that's a good outcome in my mind.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
It's tricky. I'm dealing with different lower end, smaller sites. So it's inherently different. So Abba, I'm curious what you.
But that's the world. I mean, most of the world is what you just mentioned. I mean, in terms of numbers, that's the world.
I totally agree.
And I think it is really important to be able to do that. I think that, and also to highlight that there are meetups in many, many cities across the world that are helping people learn those basics. Sometimes they're more complicated. Meetups are getting better at saying what their topic is aimed at. So if it's for developers or for new people wanting to have their own site. And I think that's something that needs to be encouraged so that it is clearer. Because if you turn up at your local meetup and it is high-end developer stuff and you don't know they also do sessions that are easier, you're never going to go again. And I've worked on people of WordPress for a number of years, and you will be surprised how many times that comes up as an example. And I know as a trainer that if I'm building a site for somebody and I'm training them how to use it, it's a failure point if they have to keep asking me to do the basic things, because that isn't a good thing. I believe in empowerment. That's why I'm in tech, is that you want people, and that's why I use open source, isn't it? So that you can want people to learn how to do it, feel great that they can do it, and make it easier. But there is a resource challenge for that, because every time it changes, they're going to come back to you and go, it's now different. That video that you made for me doesn't work anymore because there's now these options and these screens are different. And I think that is a big resource challenge for people who are in the space and who do training, for meetups. Even just, you know, if you take a look at the documentation tracker, there was 63 items that today I need to review to go and see what they need to go and happen to those. And that's an addition to everything else on the tracker that is just for 6.4. That's a little scary. And that's even when you're, you know, you're dedicated and you're determined to make a help the project. But, you know, a lot of the people who contribute, like myself, you know, they're doing it because they believe in it. They believe that you can help others use it more easily. But this is not our full-time job. And we have to address that point at some point. And as Bud said, a lot of our users are at that lower end where they want to update their cat blog site, you know, the usual analogy, who want to write some poetry and they want it to appear on the web. They want a family history site. And it's how we help them not get lost. And it is easier if they're coming to it afresh because you haven't got that cognitive load that we've all been talking about. But it's also to help the people at the other end, the developers, who are going, right, okay, this is what I've built, but what I've built now doesn't work because of all these changes. Well, actually, it probably does work. And a lot of the discussions I've seen on social are where people have said, well, that was a waste of time for me building this. And people have come back and said, actually, no, actually, what you've built still works. You just need to change this, this, and this. And they've given 5 bullet points. The person's come back and go, great, I can do that. So I think one of our responsibilities is to kind of help each other, but do it in a positive way, because otherwise we will lose people if they cannot see that they can learn something together. And also we have to get more volunteers and more people so that our material on Learn WordPress, our material for marketing, our material for documentation is up there much earlier so that people can have it from the get-go. And I know that's difficult. And as this time, I've really felt the impact of that. And I think if that's something that, you know, we can take away from this and we can help people, because if they're doing a WooCommerce site and it's on top of WordPress, they've got all those aspects to do as well. So we need to make that as easy as possible. Things like you do, Bud, things that you do, Anne, all help that. I'm gonna bring us towards a close a bit more, and because we've covered a lot of stuff on the release. And Anne, is there something that we haven't highlighted already on the release that you think is super important, especially to people who are using WordPress matched up with Woo?
I think renaming group blocks is a big one, and I think that can be really helpful when you're creating your own patterns. It can be really helpful if you have, you know, a long complex set of content. And I mentioned that partially because for 6.5, work is underway to add that renaming feature to more blocks with some exceptions. So stay tuned to that. I think it's a huge workflow improvement. I use it on a bunch of my sites now and I'm like, how did I never have this? So it's just a really great way to organize stuff because group block is used so much. So I just want to call that out, especially for Woo folks or block themers, folks who are dealing with a little bit more complexity so they can see the structure of their site very quickly.
Definitely. And hopefully if there's any links on things like this, anything we've mentioned, do share them. We'll make sure they're on the post. But how about you? Is there anything on 6.4 that you think is fantastic and we haven't called out?
I left one out when you asked about design. And I mentioned this to Anne in Slack, which is the ability to create a pattern, put placeholders in for your images, size up with aspect ratio and all that, save it just like that, okay, and then use that pattern on a page and populate your placeholders with actual images. How cool is that? Talk about a time saver. That I just love that. That was one of the best features, I think, of 6.4. So
fantastic. But we've got a couple of people who might be listening who've never used this before. Can you just explain to them what the aspect ratio they have to do and how hard that is to use?
The aspect ratio has been around for a while now, but it's now been applied to, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't always know the timeline like you do, but that the aspect ratio is available when you use a placeholder, meaning just an empty space. When you're building a template or a template part, correct? Did I get that correct?
So basically, yeah, It's for the placeholder. So whenever you just add an image block and if you click away, you'll see it's just like an empty placeholder, and that you can now set in the same way you can add a duotone filter and you can see the duotone filter reflected. You can now set aspect ratio so that you can then just drop an image in and it'll match the exact dimensions you want. So it helps you preserve the layout consistency that you've set. And before it was just added to image blocks, but you couldn't actually drag and drop an image on and have that image adopt that aspect ratio. So that's the big change. Is that aspect. And Bud, you're totally on point about all of this. Like, I'm like, plus one.
Yeah. So it's just fantastic because you can set these aspects, you know, to common, like, 4:3 and 16:9, and you can customize and so forth. But once these placeholders are set in place with their aspect ratios, you could just use that mold, if you will, in other words, a pattern, for any page that you, I think it's, you know, any page or post that you want to create. So I think it's just a fantastic new feature, and it's sort of hidden. You don't, you have to sort of look for it in 6.4, but it's great. I love that one.
I think I know where we're going to come to get that documentation written for end users, but I think that's your task to do. I love that concept of thinking of it as a mold. Really makes it sink in.
You know, I have to say one last thing, and that is I really, when I hear about all the stuff that people do, I don't do anything. And I just always feel so bad that I really feel guilty that I don't contribute to the WordPress project probably the way I should. I do what I can, but I'm also, you know, working too. So it's hard for me to have the time. Boy, I wish I could do more to help Anne, or I wish I could do more for this. And I just do what I can, and it just doesn't seem like it's enough. That's my
it
guilt.
Is. I think every contribution is amazing and awesome, and I think that's the one thing that I've noticed about documentation this time is that there aren't simple tasks like update the alt attributes or check the headings are in place, check that the screenshots are in place. Everything is so dissected into small pieces, so you could spend 5 minutes on a piece, and it's the same for polyglots for translation. If your release is not already available in your locale language, you can sit down 5 minutes, you know, updates a couple of phrases, come back to it later on, and all of that helps because together that will contribute to translating that release. And it is super important. We have 200 plus locales, and having WordPress available and the latest release explained in a local language really makes a big difference. I think, you know, hopefully we've inspired people out there today to have a go with 6.4, to take part in some of the things that are available. And we'll put all the links on the post too. But also 6.5 is already recruiting. There are ability for you to comment on the timetable for 2024. There's a lot of work happening between Core and Gutenberg working together more. And we'll be hopefully coming on, doing something on that later on. And I hope, Anne, you'll want to come back and chat to us a bit more about that too. And really, this is a community, and Do The Woo is trying to do that, is to help bring people together and say, hey, how can we do this? What inspires you? What do you love? And let people go away and try some of these things that we're all talking about. So it falls on me to say a big thank you to Anne and to Bud for all you do and for coming here today and joining us. And we do hope that you'll come and talk about future releases too with us. So thank you very much. And that's a thank you to Bud Krauss and to Anne McCarthy, who you'll see over the project. And I'm here at Abba Tuckle hosting your show on 6.4. So come and get involved with it. Come and tell us on Do The Woo what you'd like to see in 6.5 too.
Well, I'd like to thank Abba for leading this conversation with Ann and Bud, who I'm very grateful for taking the time to join us. If you didn't pick up a thing or two new on 6.4 or some insight or feature, hey, I'd really begin to wonder. So thanks to our two sponsors, Hostinger and OmniSend, for their continued support of Woo and WordPress builders worldwide. Join us again for the WordPress Way, a deeper dive into WordPress core, make.wordpress, and contributing.